Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Oh, hello. Oh. It's the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gavin Miffy, and to my right is...
Alicia Judge.
And to my left is...
Daniel Krupa. Bait and switch, baby!
You should keep it up.
I can't do a Blackburn accent.
The bait and switch thing, I've just been listening to that Mona Lisa song.
Oh my god.
We went to see... I'm skipping ahead.
Let's jump straight into it.
We went to see Popstar, Never Stopping, the other day.
Ugh.
Me, Joe, and what's the guy's name?
Starts with a
Rory. Rory went to see it, and if you don't know, it's like the Lonely Island film, and it was brilliant.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's so good.
Because we were kind of worried about it because there was no press screenings in the UK. It didn't really do that well in the US, like money
wise.
Yeah. But then, to be fair, how much, I guess, making those videos is probably quite expensive.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a rip-off, kind of like a take-off of like all the shitty like Justin Bieber-type documentaries.
It's like Spinal Tap for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great
It's a documentary about a guy called Connor For Real, played by Andy Samberg, who was previously in like a 90s hip-hop group called the Style Boys, and then became more famous than them and started a solo career.
Yeah.
And it starts as his second album is about to come out.
Yeah.
And it kind of charts his descent as it all goes wrong. And it's fantastic. Like, it's relentlessly stupid.
Yeah.
Like, really dumb. But, we talked even last week about how much I love Hot Rod.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's that group of people making another film about, like, befuddled idiots having quite a bad time, but with a secretly quite a warm heart. Like, it's a nice film by the end.
I do like Hot Rod, but I don't love her as much as you do.
Yeah.
Because I think Hot Rod is too stupid, too silly.
Yeah, whereas it is very dumb.
This is silly, but it's grounded in like a proper reality, I think.
Yeah.
Even though like the reality is obviously something ridiculous, the things that it's taken off and like sort of taken the piss out of are all real things.
And like you said this morning, half the reason it works is because the songs themselves, like, it is part musical.
Yeah.
Like, there are long breaks just to watch him perform the songs.
Yeah,
the songs are so, firstly, spot on, and secondly, good.
Mm.
Like, that's Lonely Island, isn't it? They are amazing.
They're fantastic
musicians.
At that.
And I think that's the thing that maybe doesn't gel in the film. The only thing is because
it doesn't make sense that everyone hates that album because
it's
good.
It's so funny.
We've been listening to it all week.
Yeah, there's a song on there called Mona Lisa, and it's basically about someone who goes to see the Mona Lisa and is really disappointed with it.
Yeah, it's Mona. The chorus is Mona Lisa, you're an overrated piece of shit. And it's so funny. It's just about how he hates the Mona Lisa, how Leonardo da Vinci. Has like essentially slept his way to the top, and that he also hates the pyramids, but the pyramids aren't as bad as the Mona Lisa.
That's so funny.
I keep saying it. The line about the pyramids being a dirty old pile of bricks is so funny.
Oh my god!
I've seen the trailer of it, and I know that song's in the trailer. It looked a little bit. I was getting like tones of Zoolander in there.
It's
funnier than Zoolander. But it's got that same sort of cameo thing where the cameos aren't. They are gratuitous.
Yeah.
But the way they're used is usually as a punchline or as a joke on the person who the cameo is about. So it's not showing off that they've got all these mates. Like, There are jokes in there that are quite subtle compared to the rest of the movie. Like, yeah. Nas turns up. The first person you see is Nas, one of the most influential hip-hop musicians of all time, saying that a song by the Style Boys called Karate Guy changed his life. And it's just such a stupid joke.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a great, like, little... There's tip
some,
of the hat.
Yeah, there's some bonkers cameos in there. Like, because obviously they're huge. Like, if you don't even know Lonely Island, then you know what I'm on a Boat is.
Yeah.
Because it's like one of the most watched videos on YouTube, I think. It always does my head in because, like, I've watched a lot of Lonely Island stuff all the time. I subscribe to Lonely Island. Mm. Like, Lonely Island. And now and again, when I go on the internet, like on somebody else's YouTube account, it'll be like, it'll recommend a Lonely Island song as if they need, like, picking up. Like, oh, check out these little upstarts.
These guys.
Like, genuinely. You know when we ran that 10K a while back, one of the songs that was on my playlist was, This is the Tale of Captain Jack Sparrow.
It's a good one.
And it was such a good song.
Michael Bolton's got a really good bit in this film.
Oh, man. Really? He's like so the finale song. And it is... It's so good.
But it's just like, you forget, it's really hard. Like, my mum, I grew up listening to Michael Bolton because my mum fucking loved him. Mm. So, but like, he's got a brilliant voice.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like, it generally really good voice.
Well, he does like the high licks and kicks. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Tilly
showed his age at the pub last night because we were talking about the film and we started talking about Mr. Blobby.
Obviously.
And they talked about the charity single for that and I talked about that my mum bought that and I was like, oh, we started talking about this film and said, oh yeah, like, you know, this Michael Bolton's in it. He's got a really good bit. I was like, you know, I do say the same thing. I was like, I grew up listening to Michael Bolton so my mum listened to him. Tilly was like, shit, I grew up just listening to Michael Bolton because I like him. I was like, aw.
Oh, Tilly's not in today as well. We all went out last night. And yeah, I've got a big thing of Barocca. You're drinking Tango. This is...
Child's Barocca.
Baby Barocca.
Our voices are all a little bit hoarse.
I like it when you walk in, you're like, oh, we both drink a Barocca. Yep. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like Popstar Never Stop and just come out in cinemas. Like, we were dreaming of the idea of possibly that they were going to do like a press tour. They're not doing it. Oh, and we thought maybe we could have gone in the office and something like that.
Because
like the US got them, but
that would be amazing.
They went on Up at Noon, and I think like when you go on Up at Noon, like you're just a guest on Up at Noon, so you don't get to do any like cool shit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the Snapchat team went to film with them in Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Like when Chastity still worked here, her and the Snapchat team went down to Florida to film with them.
I missed that.
So
I
know.
Where do we gotta go? Fucking Derby. you going to Derby to see this game again? Are we? All right.
Great.
What about that events going on in LA? No.
Nah,
that's not for you.
Covered that.
You got an exotic trip to
get to Derby.
Just get there and set on fire. You're not
the amount of times
done.
I've been to fucking Leamington Spa. but yeah, go see Popstar. Never stop.
It's quite hard to find. It's quite a limited release.
Yeah.
But, you know, do it.
To be fair, we went to see in a cinema that you didn't even know existed.
No. It's hidden down a back street. It's like around the corner from all the Leicester Square cinemas. This little upstart, like tiny little cinema.
Mm.
It's like a big TV room.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It was quite good, though.
That's a good film. What else is good this week?
I don't know. You are the only one with the running order, guys.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Sorry. Bloody hell. Trying to save them trees by only printing out one or not. Yeah, all right,
not saving these segues, though. Come on.
So they've done a big push for Stranger Things. If you don't know what Stranger Things is, then I don't know where you've been.
But it's
an awesome Netflix show, which you should check out on Netflix right now.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's one of those reasons why Netflix is such a wonderful idea, because it's a show that I think they pitched it to loads of different networks, like HBO and all sorts, and it got rejected and rejected and rejected.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's think about it. It's a really high-risk show. It's like,
oh, really?
Like, well, if you think of the idea of it, 1980s themed.
People love
like,
the 80s.
Absolutely, they do, and this is proof of it. But
I didn't know they pitched it to other places.
The Game of Thrones, like genuine like hits and stuff, like the easy. But like, you know, Netflix is where you can do a massive prison drama about a group of women and like, you know, it's a place
that's shit,
which is amazing. But it's, you know, it's the unlikely hits that succeeds on Netflix.
Yeah.
And this
I do feel with Netflix though, like things are either the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. There's never like an in between. Like when The Get Down came out, like you've watched that. You said it's quite good. The reviews were just down here. Like, isn't like I feel like people. Unless it's like the best thing ever and people go in like meme crazy for it.
Yeah.
You can't, it doesn't, there's no like in between Netflix shows. And if you do, you never hear about them.
That's the problem with binge TV, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, if a show is designed to be watched in one giant chunk, like everyone did with Stranger Things,
absolutely.
Like, you either go, I hate the first episode, I'm never going to bother. Yeah. You don't have that thing where it's like, it might be on again next week. You know what, I'll sit down again. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have... Like, I think if... this is probably wrong because it is really good. But if, like, The Wire came out, series one came out on Netflix now, I reckon people might not watch it.
Well, people didn't watch it when it was on HBO, man.
Well, that's true. But that's because, is that same thing of, like, first couple of episodes feel really confusing. You don't know what anything's going on. Like, if that was just all sitting there, people might just go, oh, I won't be bothered with this. Like, I've got other, you know, 13-hour episode movies to watch, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, because I've been rewatching, I just finished rewatching Sopranos. And I was actually, I wish I wasn't rewatching Sopranos when Stranger Things was on, because everyone's like, oh, Stranger Things, you've got to watch it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's good. It ain't Sopranos good, though.
So, but with Stranger Things, do you guys have any theories on what?
Yeah, so sorry.
You had a really good one.
Yeah, so we should say, so season two has just been officially announced this week. So they're doing like a big press thing for it, which included 11 going on. They had all the kids on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Not the Jimmy Kimmel. The other one. One of them shows.
Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon, yeah. And
that sketch was awkward. Not very good.
That's awful. But did you see 11 singing the
I've
Nicki
just
Minaj
seen
rap?
It linked in our Slack group and I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, I'm going to watch that when we get back to
so
this.
Good.
Does she say the mother effing word?
She does
in full.
And instead of saying bitch, she covers her mouth and goes like that. So good. But she does it really well. Like, I'd go
she's
watch
like
her with Kanye.
Take up human.
But they've just... they've just announced season two, like, officially. So we were talking about, like, theories, and do you have any theories? And, like, I think when because you'd watched it and you were like, you have to watch it. And I was kind of like, after each episode, I was just in a Google Hangout with you saying what I thought was going on.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed with the ending because...
Because your ending that you'd made up was better.
The amount of times that that happens with shows. Not to toot my own horn, no. Most of the time it's just like, what are you talking about?
Speaking of The Sopranos, here's how it could have been better.
So my theory was that 11was the monster.
Uh-huh.
So that was my theory. And I thought generally at the end, that's what we were going to find out. It was going to be all leading up to this point. And like, it's basically going to be all her fault.
Yep.
So her going into the under, what is it?
The upside down.
The undergrowth.
I don't know, that's you.
Her going to the undergrowth. Like, and she's the one who caused all everything to happen. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. And then when it didn't happen, I was like, oh.
No, but do you know
but
what?
That still could be
a thing. Absolutely could still be a thing because there's loads of evidence to support that as well. And you look at there's even a line where she literally says, I'm the monster. She doesn't say, I'm a monster. She goes, I'm the monster.
Well, I think it was because I didn't know at the time there was going to be season two. So I thought it was going to be a self-contained thing and it was never going to be on again.
But I genuinely think that she could be because even, you know, that end scene where, okay, this is
yeah, I was going to say, are we jumping into Stranger Things spoilers?
Okay,
do we need to flag this up?
Okay, I won't.
Spoilers. No, do it.
Well, shall we? Okay, if you haven't watched Stranger Things,
fast forward for like 4 minutes.
Fast forward a couple of minutes. Right.
Like, in 4 minutes time, make sure we're sitting dropping like a really horrible
time
thing.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you know the final bit where there's a final show off where Eleven pushes the monster up against the wall and they both dissolve into ash. And that makes no sense why she would dissolve into ash, really. I mean, I know there's that idea of like her powers have been completely drained and maybe that's why, but not to like completely disappear.
Wait, does she dissolve?
She did, because there's no body.
No, like, but like we see the monster.
We see the monster dissolve into
ash. We don't see her. We just see her disappear.
The idea is that she's been obliterated out of existence.
I think that's a stretch. You're reaching.
Okay, well.
She's a wrong'un.
Well,
she's a wrong'un.
Listen to this. There's more to this story. So there's an Easter egg, which a lot of people missed from the first episode, where, you know, when Dustin and Will are riding along on their bikes before Will goes missing, and Dustin's like, oh, you can have one of my comics. Like, which comic would you like? Mm. And I think Will turns around and he says, oh, I'd like X-Men issue number 134. And that issue, the whole story revolves around Jean Grey and the Phoenix.
Right.
And if anyone's read X-Men, the Phoenix is basically this evil entity that exists within Jean Grey's mind.
Yeah.
Really powerful. And
if you've seen X-Men Last Stand, the pinnacle of filmmaking,
you'll absolutely see that. And there's even a scene where Mastermind, who's a guy who's been messing around with Jean Grey, she pushes him up against the wall. And in this scene, even the way it's like been filmed and the shots, it exactly mirrors the scene at the end.
That's really cool.
Like,
that
and
is
these
really cool.
The Duffer brothers have said that like, they are massive, massive pop culture nerds and they've taken loads of references. So it's clearly the fact that they chose issue 134, it's not a coincidence. Mm. There's like a, and the Dark Phoenix, it really mirrors like the duality of 11, the idea of having this kind of darkness inside your mind. And there is, in I think a couple of issues later, I think it's issue 137, the Phoenix is destroyed, and in the process, Jean Grey also disappears in the same way that 11 disappears. Like, I think that there's a, and like the idea is that the Phoenix is an absolute like dark version. It's been created within Jean's own head. Like Jean is also a monster. So I think that is like basically saying like
11 is a piece of shit.
11 can get
11
fucked.
Is a monster.
I like that. I think that's good.
We've still got a minute 45 left of spoilers. Ooh, if you want to do it.
All right, okay, I'm gonna say what I've written down, which is fuck Barb.
Oh, you just don't like Barb.
What?
You don't like the culture of Barb.
It's not that I didn't like her. I just thought she was really annoying.
Really?
Like, this guy's wanted a party. She was just like...
That's because you're like
straight, a damn towel.
You were the Steve at school, that's why.
Yeah, you were.
I was not the Steve at school. I was the Steve, but I looked like Barb. And I genuinely did look a bit like Barb.
I can imagine you in big high-waisted chinos.
I want to see that.
You'd look nice.
Curl your hair.
Oh, it's
just
good.
Just remember in the past.
Oh, no.
But they have explicitly, the Duffer Brothers told IGN, we were the ones to break the story. Tilly was told that Barb is not coming back. She is dead as a doornail.
Loads of people, I was just like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah, but it is strange how the story deals with it.
Right.
Like, just ignoring that she died.
It's because she's shit and they don't like her. And they're just like, we're not giving her a proper death.
But I mean,
she's off.
She died in a pool. See you later.
No, but
just
that...
written on a bit of thing. Bob died in a pool. Duffers.
Duffers, mate. 34 seconds of spoilers.
Any other,
one more
any
spoiler.
Other, any other theories?
I mean, this isn't... Okay, this could potentially be a spoiler for people who don't really want to know anything from season two, like what we know. But there was just a leak this week from... that was a really nice rhyme. There was a leak this week from TV Line who said they have casting intel that they're introducing a new character called Max, which would make sense because the first episode is called Mad Max.
Mad Max,
which is going to be like a 12 to 14-year-old skateboarding female whose appearance, behaviour and pursuits seem more typical of boys and girls of this era.
That's it. That's the end of spoilers.
Oh,
sorry, we're not talking about spoilers.
Boom.
Done.
What if it when I heard skateboarding female, I just thought of, you know, when Lisa tries to be cool in that episode where they go away for the summer? Like, you know, whatever. It's going to be like that.
Pretty much.
The Stranger Things 2 teaser.
Yeah.
Where it's all the episode titles.
Yeah.
Do you think that was all right? Because they seem to give away quite a lot. Like, some of those titles are
Lost
pretty...
Lost Brother.
Yeah, like, I don't need to know those
no,
names.
No, but I think they're gonna be metaphorical. Like, there's gonna be more. Like,
have you seen the titles from the first series?
No.
They're so literal.
Oh, really?
Like, they give away
the one where we see the monster.
It basically, is what
like, actually, yeah.
There's like the body, the monster. Like, they are they paint you the picture of every episode.
Barb dies.
Like, I stopped looking at them on Netflix because I was like, this is fucking stupid. I don't want to know this.
What does, like, there's one called The Palace for season two. Like, what does that mean?
They're going to go to a palace, Alicia.
Princess Diana waltzes into Hawkins.
She'd still be alive canonically.
Oh, I saw a brilliant Princess Diana thing literally before I came in here.
Weird.
It was that's
like,
really weird.
It was like one of those, you know, like just one of those pictures that people put up. It's like, oh, like, you know, people have a go with the Kardashians as if it's like, that's the best satire they can come up with. Oh, the Kardashians are shit. Well done. But and there's a picture of Princess Diana. It says, in a world of Kardashians, be more like Diana. I looked at it, I was like, what? Dead?
Oh my God.
Like, that's mental. Be dead. I was looking at it for about 2 minutes going, what
go
does this
go to Paris
mean?
And fucking die.
So I don't understand what that means.
Very odd.
Be Diana. Be worm food.
Go to landmine town.
What are we talking about?
Strange things.
Oh yeah, another thing on Netflix as well is because obviously Stranger Things you're going to watch in like one big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The like little excerpt tells you about the episode.
Always spoilers.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Never always spoilers. Read that.
Like, mental.
Never
read
that. It's always like something that happens not at the end of that episode, but like 10 minutes in. It's always enough to make the entire prologue useless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you've just watched like a big climax to like a big argument between the parents, and then the next one's like, the divorce goes through. You're what?
I really hate that in shows as well. Like, that's why I stopped watching House of Cards, because you're watching like, I think we might have... Maybe it was you I was talking about. I don't know. But that's why I stopped watching House of Cards, because I hate watching like exposition where you know what's going to happen 20 minutes down the line.
Right.
And House of Cards does something where in the second series you're following a storyline that you already know. And it's just one person trying to work out what happened, but you already know what's happened.
I gave up on the second series of House of Cards just because it was shit.
Yeah, but I think like that happens a lot. If that happens a lot when they like just give away like something is happening, and you're just like, all right, well, I'm just waiting for that thing to happen.
Have you we talked before about Netflix's weird descriptions of films?
No,
like some of their film descriptions are way off.
Really,
like so weird, like that's tonally good. All over the place. My favorite one is No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah,
it's.
You have told me this.
It's like a hard luck dude comes into some money, but a certain individual with a weird haircut has other plans. And you're like, what is this? Like the buddy
That's
comedy
amazing.
That is No Country for Old Men.
With a weird haircut.
That's awesome.
Weird haircut and hard luck dude.
Yeah. Brilliant.
It's really strange.
That was clearly whoever wrote that at Netflix HQ was just about to go get a burrito down the road for their lunch. Couldn't be bothered. They were like, burrito time.
It's really irritating.
I reckon. So that's our. Somewhere in there was our theories for season two of the Stranger Thing. What is Stugan? Is it a cereal? Is it a yogurt?
This is a good question. Stugan, which no one really is sure how to pronounce it. It's something that I did last year, which is kind of why we're talking about it this year. It's a game development camp.
Okay.
So to be an indie developer nowadays is actually like super hard. I know we've had breakout hits like No Man's Sky and stuff that have done phenomenally well.
But is it like a concentration camp but with more cardigans?
Absolutely, absolutely. And more controllers because everyone is coding like mad. But so the whole idea of Stugan is it's giving indie developers whose game they're not necessarily like proper guaranteed successes.
Right.
They're all games that have like a quirk to them or something interesting or a real creative flair that might scare investors, but it's so worth investing time in and being created. And so all around the world, there was 13 teams and they flew to Stugan, which means cabin in Swedish, and it's in Sweden, and they live in the cabin in the woods for like 2 months.
Awesome.
And they just create games. And they don't have to like pay any money, they don't have to like give away any IP of their game. There is no other accelerator that does this.
Just
in
to
the
do
world.
The game.
Just they are just told, create your
That's
game, here's
wicked.
A space. They bring in mentors, like the lead developer on Minecraft, like amazing venture capitalist gurus, PR guys, and just help them create their games. So it's a really, really cool space. And this year, Joe, your girlfriend Kate, she was running the video channel for it.
Like, what?
Yeah. It's a really small world. It's
just
like,
got back from a month in the woods and she's gone feral.
She is walking on her hands.
Blackberry picking. But it's absolutely awesome. And last Friday I flew out to Sweden for a bit of a reunion with the guys from last year, but also to see the games from this year.
Right.
So they're completely different teams. I'd never met any of them. And they're just awesome. They are so good. And I'm so glad that this accelerator exists because it just gives such an awesome platform for creativity that otherwise would be like crushed by money mongering. But there's one by two developers called Mira and Tanya called TikTok. They're from Sweden and Denmark, and it's just this really cool kind of mystery co-op story puzzler for two players. They kind of describe it as a mix between Year Walk and Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
This is the one where you have two different versions of the same game
Absolutely.
That you play simultaneously,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's good.
It sounds really cool.
So say if Joe and I were playing, we'd both have our iPads out and we'd both be looking at the screen, but both the section of the game we'd be looking at would be kind of similar, but there'd be differences in each one.
Okay.
And so they're a series of puzzles. So I might have something on my screen that Joe doesn't have on his, but we both need. Then I can like manipulate it in such a way that then Joe has something. Yeah, that it appears on your screen, and then we kind of like solve the puzzle together, which is a really, really cool idea. There's this kind of like narrative element to it. And that's where the TikTok idea comes across. So it's like a pendulum swinging. So you take turns, it goes like tick. Talk.
Very clever.
Really, really clever. There's another one called
Mira and Tanya.
Yeah, Mira and Tanya, very smart ladies. There's another couple called Mikhail and Laura from the USA, and they've created this game called Thin Air, which is a survival game where you play an old woman who she's high up on this mountain where the air is so thin it's a real struggle to survive.
Is this the fully hand-drawn one?
Yes, it's stunning.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It's all hand-drawn.
All hand-drawn. So it's 2D hand-drawn animation, and that is so rare nowadays. Like, that's genuinely rare in game development to have Such a beautiful art style. And it's really, really early prototype stage at the moment. But the idea is really interesting. So you have to, you know, you're slowly dying, and it's this survival aspect of it is you've got to find this plant that will help you breathe.
Okay.
But when you eat the plant, you hallucinate. It's like the magic mushroom plant. So you're like, and when you hallucinate, you start...
These people were in a cabin with your girlfriend. Yeah. What the hell?
Getting high and making games.
But when you hallucinate, you see these entities, and these are the bosses of the game. And the whole point of the game is you have to basically overcome each of these bosses.
One of the bosses, I seem to remember, is a sort of weird giant greyhound thing with loads of nipples that are all leaking milk.
That are all lactating.
That sounds fantastic.
I mean, it's absolutely mental. It is a crazy, crazy game. And it's the reason why it's so awesome is because gameplay-wise, it's really cool, survival element. But then also on a metaphorical level, it's a game about overcoming aspects of your subconscious. So like every single game has a twist like this. Either there's a really interesting gameplay mechanic, it'll be a game design thing, or like there's a guy called Tom Francis from the UK. He's done like a procedural stealth space simulator where you fly around the galaxy on like, and we've seen like a few of those, but on this one you can actually dock to like
Yeah, exactly.
You can dock up to these ships and actually go like physically in around like enemy ships and stuff. There's always really interesting twists on each of the games from Sturgeon. There's 13 teams in total. Definitely recommend like into them, because it's an awesome bastion, I think, of indie game development and just kind of what people are capable of now, basically in their own homes, in their own times, while juggling other jobs.
There's a really good Devolver series, which basically kind of the same thing. And as you just mentioned, Tom Francis here, he's in one. Mm-hmm. And they basically take two developers, smush them together, and make them live together for like a week or a month or something like that. And then they have to make a game together. And they filmed it. That's why I watched it, because it's like amazingly made like documentaries about these people living together and then making this game. And then you got to play the games at the end. Games are by far the worst part of the project, but the documentary stuff is really good, and it's just really interesting to watch like really smart people. I haven't watched any of Kate's stuff. But it's interesting to see like these awesome people just talking and living together and like talking about like really interesting like things for games.
That's
quite inspiring.
That strikes me as the biggest part of it is the fact it's not that they're alone and given the funding to create this to finish their stuff.
Yeah.
No.
It's that they're with loads of other people. Like apparently they, because there's like a 4 or 5 hour bus journey to get to this place in the middle of nowhere.
And they're all sucking each other off.
It's crazy. By the end, it's just a tangle of limbs. No, but like they were all on the bus just making up games and like drawing them out on paper, like creating games. Wow. And then they called Kate the library because she collected them all so that they wouldn't lose them. Because they're all fucking scatty bastards. And so, she's got like this sheaf of games that were just made, like brilliant games just made up on a bus.
She's going to be like, next year, she'll be like, I've got all these games that I'm making.
Yeah.
I came up with myself, actually.
Kate Publishing comes out and just...
I was thinking about it, because like, you did the video stuff last year, and like Kate, I was like, what? I was like, that's a really good gig. How'd you get that gig? But then I think I would feel so small with all these really clever people.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to deal with it.
I don't think I'd be able to deal with it.
It's a really weird environment, because you're going...
crying myself to sleep, going, what is wrong with your brain? Why isn't your brain as good as these brains?
Oh, this guy's probably got A's in maths.
Yeah, logical people, but very creative people. No, it is weird, because you go there and you're not a game developer, but you bloody love games. And so you kind of run around like a puppy, going like, what are you making? This is awesome. But
that makes you great QA, because you're not as smart as everyone else there. So they can just be like, right, give it to the fucking goblin.
You're a good playtester, because while I might play some of the games last year I played, and I wouldn't be able to go, oh yeah, so you should go into the code and like try like this particular script to fix this problem. But I could be like,
go into the code. You don't go into the code.
Mikael, she does not know.
I don't speak as the code.
Stop spitting on him, Mikael.
Mikael, you're from Derby. Why do you speak like this?
I feel that's good. Well, Sturgeon is
a cool place.
I can't even think of a word that goes into that sounds good. Like Stugorific.
Oh god.
You should go into their marketing.
Give up.
Actually, I'm gonna go here. I've drawn an arrow. bypassing one thing to go to another.
Superb.
Thing. And that's how I'm going to talk about it. Because a game that's actually got a really good little concept that I've been playing this week is Hue.
Have you been playing it? I haven't played it yet.
It's really good. I'll get your code for it. We'll play
I've got one, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, why have you been playing it then?
I'm hooked up.
So I played this at Gamescom last year, and it was one of the last things ever. So basically, like, I was winding Krupa up in the week before Gamescom, and he does all our appointments, and he put me down for like going to see all this mad stuff at like 9 o'clock in the morning on the last day after we'd been out on a lash the night before. So I had to go see all these different games. Some of them were utter, like, unplayable.
Toilet.
Like, oh, absolute garbage, yeah. But in the middle of all this, I was like, oh, come on. Like, it was like part of like two people appointment. Mm. One person showed me their game, and then there's this like really quiet dude. I was like, oh, did you make this game as well? And he was like, no, I made this game called Hue. Like, do you want to play that? I was like, yeah, come on, play it on. It's amazing. It was like the best thing I played at Gamescom, and I played For Honor that year. Like, and I was like, it's basically like a little sort of puzzle platformer, all to do with colors, and you have to change the color of like blocks and what the color of the game to be able to solve different puzzles and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, that was one where I was playing it, and the guy must have been like, "Who the fuck?
What
is
he doing?
What is this wrong with this jabroni?" But it makes you feel so smart when you manage to solve a puzzle.
That's the best thing about a puzzler, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've got a really great colorblind mode as well, where it puts
it's crazy
because
yeah.
obviously it would be impossible for a colorblind person to play, but they like it translates to like sort of an alphabet of runes that symbolize those colors, so you can understand, like, a colorblind person essentially has to learn language to understand how the world works.
That's really,
really,
cool.
really clever.
That's
I saw it this really week. Cool. It looks amazing.
It's a really, really good game, though. And it's just like, it's one of those games where you go, all right, I'll do one more. And you go, you feel so good when you've solved it. You go, all right, I'll do another one.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
just keep on going and going and going. It's got like a cool little story going out throughout as well. Like, I've seen some people comparing it to Thomas Was Alone. But like,
I bloody love that game.
I can see that.
And that's the thing, like, with Thomas Was Alone, I loved everything about it except for the actual game. I just thought the game's just, I just think it's very good.
I really like the gameplay.
The latter levels worked for me. Like, the early stuff where it's just like about getting one block on top of the other never got to me.
No.
But the gravity stuff was cool.
But the good thing about Hue is like, it's amazing gameplay just from the start.
Mm.
And it really challenged you like pretty sharpishly. which is good, but it's just a tiny little game. I think like Curve Studios are releasing it. They release a lot of like really interesting games.
I was going to segue into something amazing, or a couple of amazing things I saw at Gamescom.
What?
This is why I'm on my phone, because I've forgotten the name of one of them.
Banging on about these.
Yeah, there were a couple of games, and they were called, the first one I'm going to say slowly because I can't remember the other one, was Lantern, and the other one was Runes, the Forgotten Path.
What is this?
They were two Italian VR games. So Gamescom has this amazing room, which is just different countries' sort of creative, like Yuki from the UK, which is like a sort of games creative council, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call them. All the different countries bring a pavilion of stuff.
Yeah.
So we saw Sniper Elite, which is made by Rebellion Games, at the UK one, and I went to the Italian pavilion and got shown these two VR games. And they're fantastic, like really cool ideas, and you just never see them on the show floor.
Yeah.
Incredibly passionate people who just want to like get it out there, and they're there half to get publishers to invest in it and get the press to like actually see it.
Yeah.
So Lantern is a VR game where you control a paper lantern flying over a landscape. And all it does is as you fly over the landscape, it colours it in.
Okay.
So it's essentially a 3D colouring in game.
Nice.
And you can play it with or without VR.
Okay.
Without, you're just controlling it. It looks nice. The music's really good. You're like, this is cool.
Like
in VR,
it's called Lantern.
Oh my God. In VR, it's unbelievable. The sense of scale, the sense, because you're going like way up into the sky to be able to see everything, then like drifting down under gates, like colouring in this like it's kind of an Asian inspired like village, like rural villagey landscape.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. Me and Dan Kilby played it, and it was just like it mixes relaxation with like genuine like gut. You fly down, you've got like this feeling.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other one, Runes, is essentially sort of a magic combat game. So you get these two runes. One's fireballs and one's a shield. But in the final game, you'll be like drawing different runes to get different spells into your two hands, and like comboing them.
That's
and stuff.
That's really cool.
But the most amazing thing about it was they have come up with a really nice solution for movement in a VR game, because obviously that's a huge
really
problem
tough.
In a first person game.
Yeah.
A lot of games are doing this teleporting thing, which takes me out of
most
games.
I really hate
games.
That. Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like
you're
going anywhere.
In the Batman one, I thought.
In the Batman one, it works because the idea of like swooping around to see a crime scene kind of works.
Yeah.
But I tried Fallout VR. It takes you out of that world completely.
Same with Tomb Raider.
It's just like, it doesn't feel like I'm in a place anymore.
In Tomb Raider, you've got like an actual outline of a big arrow and Lara Croft.
Same in Fallout.
Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, you're just like, I'm not in Croft Manor if I can see like me zooming about.
Yeah.
But so what this does, and they say they're going to have three different ways of movement, but the one they showed is essentially the first thing you do is step off a cliff, which is fucking terrifying. They were just like, please step forward.
And I'm
like,
doing that.
No. Mr. Italian man. Tricking me. So what you do is you step off this cliff, and what it does is just immediately this sort of rock appears under you, this floating rock.
Yeah.
And you're floating through this weird, like dreamy landscape. And you move it by holding your hand over this little handprint. Yeah. And that activates this rock as you move along.
That's good.
So you've got control over when you're moving.
Yeah.
But it's essentially on rails, but it's down to you. So you get into combat situations and you have to take the hand off so you're not moving anymore.
Yeah.
You're not getting away from the threat, so you have to fight them.
Yeah.
But then you put the hand back on, you've only got one spell. It's a really nice little like risk-reward thing, and it makes movement feel right, but you're still under control.
That's good, because it's like being on rails but not feeling cheap.
Yeah.
Because like with the Until Dawn one, I played that, and like is, you're literally on rails.
Yes.
Like it's like a ghost train. Or
exactly.
Whatever. And like, it feels really cheap.
But there's something that, because you've got that one measure of control, like I could see them even putting in a thing where you can kind of move it left or right, depending on when you're hand is and stuff. I'm not sure if they will, but it's a really nice solution for it. And it's these two games that you just, I wasn't expecting to see and are just like really cool little things that get you excited about what people are doing.
That's a really I've been wondering for ages how people are going to solve the movement issue in VR, because like the whole issue is nausea, and the nausea happens when something happens in the game that you're not feeling in your body within real life. So if you like have a massive swoop where you kind of like move really quickly in the game, but really in real life you're standing in your living room completely still, your brain goes, I'm meant to be feeling movement, but my body doesn't, and it freaks the hell out, and it just goes nausea. It's just like this panic mode that your body does. So
isn't that a thing where isn't it your brain thinks that it's poisoned? Like you wouldn't be feeling movement without actual movement unless you were poisoned.
So then your body tries
to expel toxins.
Yeah.
Like,
that's interesting.
It's really clever.
It's the same reason that you get motion sickness in a car and stuff sometimes, because you're sitting still, but you can your brain sees that you're moving really fast.
Brains are stupid. Get rid.
They're so dumb.
So those are some Italian VR games that I forgot.
We were talking for this. We were like, worried this wasn't going to be game enough centric. We talked about Hugh. We talked about the Italians.
The Italian
about
games.
The Swedes.
The Swedes.
Mikhail.
We are so international.
We're a cosmopolitan crew of guys.
And now we're going to bring things down to the best game on any podcast.
This is the premier Welsh game.
It is.
This is Wales' best game ever.
It's been a while since
Wales
played
games.
It as well.
Yeah, I've been on podcast for a while. I have been on this. I don't know.
It seems like we only do this game now.
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel like it's always me against you.
Because to be honest, like sometimes like I'll see people just slagging it off. Like, because I think maybe a lot of people, some people don't like it, but some people do like it. So like now and again, I'll catch a comment. And it's, to be fair, like bad comments are awful. But now and again, I'll catch a comment and be like, Keyword Countdown is the worst thing ever.
Wow.
Who said that? What's their social security number?
I got a lot of shit for talking about Sombra for 15 minutes last week, so I know those feels.
But I have had a couple people say they like it, and they play along.
It's
so
a good game.
That's fine, yeah.
People want you to release it as a board game and shit.
Yeah, all right.
It's going to happen.
I forgot about that. Anyway, if you don't know, IMDb has a lot of really weird keywords.
You usually say crazy keywords.
Crazy.
You've changed it.
Crazy keywords.
That's my favourite thing.
That they use to categorise films. So I have taken some of these for five different films, and I want you two, and you at home, to guess what the film is.
Is there a theme again?
Always a theme, mate.
It's always a theme.
Always
though.
A theme.
Sometimes the theme ruins it.
And you get an extra point. This doesn't ruin it.
Okay,
this,
good.
This doesn't ruin it.
Is it Vin Diesel again?
keyword countdown.
Mm.
Okay.
Film number one.
Right.
Friendship.
Fox and the Hound.
Stand by me. Is it Stand by me?
No!
Yes! Yes!
No!
Fuck you, Dale. Dale said he was going to be the only person ever to get it first time.
Bam!
I know what the theme is. I know what the theme is already.
Do you?
It's Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yes! Give me that extra point. And I blocked that. Yes.
Right. You two should be able to play this game together. All right. Well, okay.
Oh, I'm so pumped.
Can we just... It feels like we're overshadowing friendship. Fox and Hound.
That was amazing.
The way you said it was like, there's only one answer for this.
Fox and Hound. It is the ultimate story of friendship and brotherhood.
All right, well, this was the other clues.
Oh, God, I'm so happy.
Friendship. Treehouse. Boy with glasses. Summertime. Overweight child. Child smoking cigarette. Voiceover narration. Based on novella. Walking on tracks. Dead body.
You know, after friendship, I only would have got it at walking on tracks.
Not overweight child?
No. I've never watched Stand By Me.
What?
I've never seen Stand By Me either.
You
I'm
maniacs.
Really surprised that you got... Please. I've never even heard of it.
Please rectify that this weekend.
I'm going to watch it. It's meant to be very good.
It was like when we were talking...
Stephen King.
We were talking on Prepared to Try, our Dark Souls series, we should check out. And Stranger Things just come out. And Krupa started talking about It.
But, oh, yeah.
Rory hadn't heard that we were talking about It. And he was like, you guys talking about Stranger Things? Like, no, we're talking about It. And he's like, sounds a lot like Stranger Things. I was like, yes, it does, Rory.
That's what influences from.
All right. Here we go. This next one's not
I'm really, really, really impressed by the two bits of paper that you blocked from my projectiles.
Very good reflexes. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Box office hit.
Could be anything.
Oblivion with Tom Cruise.
Empathy.
Empathy.
Innocence.
Boyhood.
Ghost costume.
Scream? No, wait, that's ridiculous.
Star Wars reference.
Scooby-Doo.
Star Wars reference, ghost costume.
Penis joke.
Penis joke. The Goonies.
Dolly Zoom.
Dolly Zoom? Jaws?
1980s.
Oh, a 1980s film about friendship. Gremlins.
Bicycle chase.
Oh,
easy! Yeah, you got that first.
God, that's loud.
Massive audience. Right, Mike, I'm so sorry.
last night, we were all relatively on the way
three
to Drunken
to the wind.
Town.
We were.
Alicia was a step further than the rest of us on that train.
I had a lot of wine.
Yeah.
And wine is stronger than beer. But and I had a blueberry caipirinha.
You did. Yeah. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that's factual. You were. There were bits playing Overwatch. We drunkenly played Overwatch, which was a very poor idea, where you screamed so loudly that, like, my headphones cut out. Like a failsafe. Like, it was insane. it was crazy.
That's amazing.
The other one was Friendly Alien.
That's good.
That's number 10. So there's 2 points for you, 10 points to Joe. Here we go.
11. Got the theme.
Oh, yeah.
Keep track.
What's that?
Ooh. It's a phone.
I don't know.
Is your phone ringing?
You've got to answer it.
Joseph.
Who is it?
It's a Square Enix PR.
Oh, no.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah.
I know what that's about.
Bollocks to that.
That's going to be a cool thing.
And not as important as keyword countdown.
Sweet. Film number 3. Prison. Water sprinkler. Running into someone. Survivor.
What?
Bald man.
Rocky. Rocky 2. Rocky 3. Rocky 4.
Human bait.
Human bait.
Dead girl.
Oh, my God.
The Batman thing?
Short-haired female.
Evil Dead.
Oh, no. No. What's it called? Mad Max? Fury Road?
Numbered sequel.
Okay. Ah! Short-haired girl.
Final clue.
Okay.
Human versus alien.
Alien 2!
Predator 2. Predators.
Is it not? Alien 3.
Aliens.
That's the one. I got the order mixed up. There we go. Great.
There is no Alien 2.
Aliens!
I can't believe...
But it's...
That's just
numbered sequel.
Numbered sequel. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I forget that Newt's in the third one.
Yeah. Dead girl.
Yeah.
Dead girl. Okay. That was 1 point to Alicia. 11 to Joe. But also...
Wait, I got the point for the ET as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two points for that.
3 points.
Three to go. That's what I said, no?
You said you got 1 point for that one.
Dama.
Yeah, actually,
but
it's really
that's rocketing you up the league for guesses, because it's two different leagues, remember?
That is
There's
true.
Overall points and films guessed.
Ah!
Yeah, because I'm a loser.
In the world.
Because I'm a cool guy who likes numbers.
Got 6 or 7 spreadsheets, baby.
Here we go.
All right.
Film number 4.
Yeah.
I thought that was the first clue. Sorry. No.
Kitchen. Chair. Moving.
Fatal Attraction.
Spread Eagle.
Spread Eagle.
Basic Instinct.
That just reminds me of Chicago.
Parapsychologist.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Toy.
Ghostbusters 2.
Poltergeist.
Yes.
Fuckers.
Outstanding. 10, 9, 8, 7, 7. 5 points for that one.
Yes! I think that's the lot.
That's 8 points. You're only 3 points behind Joe, and he got one first go.
Yeah, I've given up.
Here we go. Oh, the other one, sorry. Toy. Animate doll. Haunting. Mm. Paranormal investigator. Mm. Toy clown.
Sweet.
Kitchen. That's Ghostbusters all over.
Wait, how does that relate to friendship? Wasn't that the theme? Oh, no, Stranger Things was
Stranger
the theme.
Stranger Things, yeah. Cool. I mean, friendship's always a theme. How does that...
Casper the Friendly Ghost was
Here
the
we go. Film number 5.
Theme's throwing me right off.
It's because you guessed it early on.
Yeah.
Schwinn Bicycle.
Ah! Schwinn Bicycle? Is that a word?
Super bike. 8.
Dead Body.
Goonies.
Yes.
Wow, well done.
Well done.
Well done.
To be fair, you could have just shouted out at any point. I think you did shout
out. I did shout that out earlier.
Yeah, it's probably...
9 points to Joe there.
Well done.
And the other ones, lifting a male into the air, which I always love when that one comes up.
Lifting a male?
Yeah. Lifting a male into the air.
That's a very odd keyword.
So a boy, good. Not a...
How many of those are
post?
There?
Loads. It always comes out. Anytime I put lifting a male into the air, I'll put him in because that's such a point. Mad one. It's in Jurassic Park. It's in a bunch of others.
Which male gets lifted in the air?
I guess the lawyer when the T-Rex picks him up.
Oh, not being lifted by another human.
No,
just
no,
being
it can be lifted.
Lifted
by anything. Yeah, yeah.
Forklift instruction videos.
Yeah.
They're probably gone.
Well, like, because some people are mad on keywords. Like, one of my most successful tweets, like, I saw this one guy on IMDb who was literally posting underneath each thing going, do you know if anyone got shot in the head in this film? Do you, and like, he hadn't seen the films. He was just asking if anyone knew if it was like any headshots. How many headshots in this film? And I was like, seems like a nice guy.
That's like, that's the creepiest version of like Mr. Skin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's like, the man gets shot in the head at 16 minutes 42.
Times. Lifting a male into the air. Mm. Beret. Stepping on a rake. Gadget. Cutlass. Group of friends. Skeleton. Pirate ship. That's the Goonies. 9 points to Joe there. So, Joe, you come away with 20 points this week. Lissy, you come away with 8.
You know what? I'm happy with 8. I
should
am
be.
Very happy
I think
with
we
that.
Should both be happy
Bloody
with ourselves.
Good
we did well.
High five.
Smash.
Friendship!
Friendship was not the theme.
Well done. And the theme was Stranger Things. Well done. I've just realised we've forgotten to bring the feedback in.
Yes.
So we'll wrap things up for that this week.
Most of it was just angry at me.
So. Oh,
that's fine. Fuck you, people.
I really
Stop.
Enjoyed your Sombra.
So did I. It's
I
a good,
it was genuinely interesting.
It's a good story. If you want to read
the story
your
again.
Piece, yeah. Your opinion piece on that is really amazing.
I did a dumb piece about how I lost my mind and drank a whole bottle of wine. It was
but
great.
That was the podcast. I hope you like it. If you didn't, well, it was free. So,
speaking of free, we might have a special little extra podcast next week.
Oh, yeah.
On
yeah.
a theme. I think we're all going to talk spoiler cast about Inside. Not replacing the normal episode. You get the normal episode.
Yeah.
But an extra special episode because we're all there. Nerding out.
I've already got 3 pages of notes.
I know, it's ridiculous. You keep tapping me and going, there's more!
Yes! I had my nose probably about 2 inches from my computer screen the other day and I gasped really loudly because I noticed something in a screenshot and Joe was like, what, are you okay? Like, I thought something was wrong. No, it was just a clue.
Well, something was wrong inside.
So look out for that and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye. Hey.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my 2 wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.